Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna started to burn too many things we found. This is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman back with you another hour in the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We have a very important topic to talk about today, which is Puerto Rico. And I've got three great guests lined up. Guillermo, are you with us? Hello? Guillermo, can I hear you? Or Joel? Or Yesenia?
I'm here, Harvey. This is Yesenia.
Oh, good. Yesenia, I'm glad you're with us. And Joel Siegel will be joining us, as will Guillermo at some point. So, Yesenia, you've got a very impressive bio. And I, as someone like you, I hesitate to introduce. So tell us about yourself, and then let's talk about Puerto Rico and what's happening there.
Well, thank you, Harvey, for the invitation. I am very excited to be part of this group. I am very passionate about Puerto Rico. I am born in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. I grew up in Massachusetts, and I was able to go back to the island and experience firsthand how it is to live there and just get involved with the culture and the people when I was about 16 years old. And I truly, truly fell in love with everything there, the people, the island, the culture, the food. And it's just internalized in me that there was a lot more to my heritage than just being able to speak two languages. And that's where the passion grew to always defend my island and look for prosperity and a change and to make my island great again.
Do you walk around with a baseball hat that says, make Puerto Rico great? Yeah. Puerto Rico,
yes.
Right again?
Yes, I am about to start using that slogan from now on. Let's make Puerto Rico great again.
All right. Does that mean leaving the United States?
Excuse me?
Does that mean leaving the United States? Should Puerto Rico be an independent country? I mean, Puerto Rico has not been an independent country since the 1500s when the Spaniards conquered it. Maybe it should go back. Well, of course, it probably wasn't organized as a country when Columbus came. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk of Puerto Rico being independent. What do you think?
I have to disagree with that thought and that topic in particular. I do appreciate the fact that Puerto Rico has richness and it's bountiful in many areas. But I also do appreciate the connection that we have with the United States and every opportunity that we have to continue growing in the industrial sector. So, no, I do applaud the efforts of people trying to either continue as a Commonwealth state or become another state, a formal state within the United States.
Well, what do you think about that? You know, with the Republicans in power, it never happened. Everybody knows that Puerto Rico would send two U.S. senators and a U.S. congressperson to the Congress that would be Democratic, small D, hopefully, but at least members of the Democratic Party. Hopefully, if people come to their senses and get rid of Trump and bring in a Democratic majority, there could be statehood for Puerto Rico. I think that would be a decent improvement, don't you?
I do. I do think that we need to make certain things change among our politics. I do think that people have to start changing the mentality on how they work. politicians are not just politicians. They are public servants, and they need to start acting as such. They need to start standing up for the communities, for the people that actually live in the island. And I do believe that if we start little by little making certain changes, we can make a great impact into our island, not only in the sustainable energy side, but also with our school systems, with our government systems within our island. I experienced it firsthand, and I believe that there are many professionals there that want to see change, that want to see progress. We just need the right people to push it forward and make it happen.
All right, so speaking of which, Joel Siegel, have you joined us yet? And Guillermo, are you with us yet? Okay, so let's proceed. So in the wake of Maria, the hurricane that was so devastating to Puerto Rico and to the Virgin Islands, you know, terrible things have really happened. And they really require a response, you know, superior to the non-response that we've gotten from the Trump administration. And I know that you've been involved with a number of groups and that you were on a conference call today having to do with the steps forward and with legislation that's been drafted and proposed by a number of people to solarize the island and to rebuild the island. So what is your vision now for what needs to happen in Puerto Rico?
Well, that's a really good question. I think it's composed of two separate topics. Last year, when Maria happened, we saw the massive destruction that it left behind. And we also experienced firsthand how the island of Puerto Rico is not prepared for these natural disasters. So we're quite aware that we need to start working in a smart way and start taking steps in the right direction to make sure that we put in place certain processes that are going to help the island recover faster when these situations come, and also be able to continue working in an effective way day after day in what the island needs today. So what does the island need today? The island still needs rebuilding. It still needs reconstruction in many, many areas. I have very close friends and family members that live in the island, and I speak to them every week, and they do tell me, you know, this house is yet to be rebuilt, this school was closed down, this particular clinic is not receiving the materials that they need to receive to attend the patients, or, you know, the even places like, I would say, Home Depot down in Puerto Rico still don't have enough materials for construction workers to go and rebuild a wall or rebuild a roof. There are many people that still call us up or we are involved with in some sort of way that tell us that they live in one room out of their whole house because they still don't have a roof in their home. So there's still a lot of work to be done. So what we're doing right now is making sure that we put the right people in place to start moving this movement and start making an impact in Congress and make sure that they hear us. They hear the Puerto Rican people and what they need. They need sustainable energy. They need the right power grid. We need to start working with items that are going to be there through natural disasters. And, you know, after it happens, we can still go to the clinic. We can still go to school. We can still go to work because we were able to recuperate a lot faster. We don't have that right now. And this is what these groups are fighting for.
Well, what is required? I know that Joel Siegel in his one of his memos is requesting $90 billion to help rebuild Puerto Rico. Is that realistic?
That is correct. We are requesting that amount of money, and this is based on the second bill, which will abolish the Jones Act. There's a lot of details behind that, and Joel would be more more would have a more efficient answer to your question, but I do say that yes, this is possible. We can be able to rebuild the island with this amount of money and just the collaboration of many other companies and organizations that have chipped in to help the island. So it takes an army, and this army is being put together, and we are working hard to make it happen.
Well, how are you doing? First of all, how would people get in touch with you to be part of this? I know that you need funds as well as willing hands to go down there. What is your contact information? How do people get a hold of you to help this rebuilding process?
Well, I can leave my email address with you. And
yeah,
well, obviously we'll make that public. It is Y as in yellow, P as in Paul, E as in elephant, R as in rabbit, E as in elephant, Z as in zebra, R as in rabbit, 31@gmail.com. And you're more than welcome to send me an email and let me know what is your interest in either helping or contribute financially to this movement. We are currently working on putting together a video, a documentary on how the island is today, you know, or a month from now, I would say, to commemorate the one-year anniversary from Hurricane Maria. So we do need help financially to make this happen. And we do need this documentary in order to bring awareness to our legislative branch. We need to show them how our island still looks a year after the hurricane.
Well, how does it look? Give us a description.
It still looks blue from the sky. That's a summarized way of putting it. You know, we still have a lot of blue tarts in a lot of roofs. We still have buildings that are halfway done. We still have a lot of people that have gathered together and live under one roof until another family member's home is completed. We have a lot of schools that have closed down because they don't have the proper facilities to attend to the children. We currently do have a poor water system. The pressure is not as it should be. The water is tinted. The electricity keeps on coming and going. It is not reliable. So how can you bring children into schools when you don't know if you're going to have electricity the full day? And how are you going to provide them with a good lunch? How are you going to make sure that they're in a healthy, well environment for a whole day if you can't provide them the basic need, which is electricity and water? So these are the main focuses that we need to make sure that they change, and they change pretty quickly, and that's where we need support. So we want to make this documentary in order to show others how the island still looks today and how the need is still there. We have seen our media took a look at Maria when it happened back in September. They followed up with it back in October. But let me tell you, if it wasn't from the reporter David, you wouldn't see the island and its progress throughout these months, because he has been the only one that has been really, really on top of it and making it public and national. Now, we want to bring a national exposure to what there is there today, a year after Hurricane Maria happened.
Wow. So has there been any improvement at all, or is it just all still basically a wreck?
Well, no, there has been a lot of improvement. There has been a lot of people working really, really hard around the clock to make sure that, you know, that construction is happening, that rebuilding is occurring. There has been a lot of organizations that have put their efforts in high gear to make sure that things are getting done. I have personally been involved with Convoy of Hope, with Global Empowerment, and many other organizations that are still working really hard to make sure that these rebuilding processes are happening.
We're talking with Yesenia. I don't know, Joel Siegel, if you've joined us. Guillermo, if you've joined us, there must be a time mix-up. They're usually pretty reliable. But, Yesenia, you're doing great here. I'm very glad to talk with you about this. Have you looked into the solarization? I'm sorry, by the way, if there's traffic noise. I'm actually sitting in the Amherst Common in Amherst, Massachusetts, and I will try and move to a quieter place here. But there has been talk. Well, there is the Children's Hospital in San Juan did get a solar system from Elon Musk. Have you followed that?
I saw it in pictures. I have not had the opportunity to visit the island yet. I did see it in pictures. Their job was amazing. And just the turnaround on where they had this material delivered there and put it up in less than a week and have that hospital working again, it was amazing. It was amazing. And why can't we do that as a government? Why does it take so long for us to react?
Yeah, and why doesn't the government really come in with more meaningful resources? It's quite amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is reminiscent. The treatment of Puerto Rico in the wake of Maria is definitely reminiscent of the treatment of New Orleans after Katrina. And, there's quite a bit of anger. So I understand also now that your governor, what is his name? Governor of
Roy Cooper. Roy Cooper.
No, the governor of Puerto Rico.
Ricardo
okay.
Rosello. The governor of Puerto Rico is Ricardo Rosello.
Yes. So now he is trying to give away the state-owned utility company. Is that right?
That is correct. They are currently in the works to make PEPA a privately owned company.
And what is happening with that?
I am not sure. I'm not in the loop. Joel is a better source to answer that question. He is more in the loop. We were discussing that in our previous meeting this morning. But I do have to tell you, we all have different ideas and recommendations to how it should happen. We know that sometimes the political, quote-unquote, aspect of these transactions can take these situations into a different route than what the island actually needs or is waiting for. So we do have different recommendations for it to, be a good transition. It should happen. I think that the energy should go into private hands. For many, many years, the Puerto Rican people have requested that. I can attest to experiencing it when I was between 16 and 21 years old and I lived in Puerto Rico. I heard that a lot. I heard the fact that the Puerto Rico government should just give away their control over these electrical, water, and other means of service to the communities.
Well, the bottom line here is that there is a major disconnect, or seems to be, between the state government and the need to for the citizens to take over the national utility. My understanding is that the governor wants to give the national utility to private corporations, which will, of course, make a total mess. And meanwhile, the much of the island is still without electricity. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. I have close friends from the western side of the island that they're constantly saying, we're without electricity today again, and then another day goes by, we're without electricity today again. And so it's a constant effect that they're feeling.
Right. Now, there's also a movement, and I guess this is somewhat led by the mayor of San Juan, who is way more progressive than the governor, and she wants the people to own the utility company. Is that right?
I am not aware of that information.
Okay. So essentially what we're looking at here is two different models of the future, the power future of Puerto Rico. One is a privately owned utility company based with fossil fuels, and thank God no nuclear plant. Or those I saw some moron talking about how San Juan, how about Puerto Rico needs a nuclear power plant. That's the last thing.
No, they do not. A volcanic island does not need a nuclear power plant. That's for sure.
Right. That's for sure. But simultaneously, there is talk of the public owning the utility and all the power coming from renewable energy, wind and solar. And that would work. And my understanding is that the mayor of Puerto Rico, Carmen, what is her name?
Carmen Julian.
The mayor of San Juan.
Carmen Julian Cruz Soto.
There you go. So she has been at odds with the governor over this, and of course it's a pretty big deal. And now you have this legislation coming in, which would really require the federal government to step in and fund the solarization of the island.
That
which is something that really needs to happen. So,
I truly believe, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I truly believe is the right path to take. The island has some natural factors to it that we can take advantage of. So being able to have a solar power energy grid and also being able to harvest wind energy are two things that would be greatly beneficial to the island. And its environment overall.
Joel, did I hear you there? No, I guess Joel still hasn't signed in. So how is this going to happen? How are we going to make a Puerto Rico solarized? And what can you use from the people listening in on the show to help you move ahead? What do you most need from my listeners to help Puerto Rico get out of this mess?
We need support. Over everything. We need to make sure that you reach out to your local politicians, your local congresswomen, congressmen, legislation, and let them know that you want them to support this bill. You can fill out a petition in your area, get it signed, get it to the right people, and make sure it gets to Congress, that we are able to make a change in our decision-making process where they take into consideration passing this sustainable energy bill for the island.
So what is the bill? Does the bill have a number? Has the bill gone in? Has it been formally proposed
yet? It has not. No, it has not. It is actually in the draft stage. Once it has been completed and formalized, I believe Joel is going to provide that information to you. Right now it is on a drafting stage, and we are, as a group, are still working all the little details that need to go into it. The other thing that would be very helpful to us right now, if you are listening and you are passionate about community and you're passionate about supporting people. I'm not talking about a certain culture. I'm not talking about a certain race. I'm talking about us as people, and we want to support each other. And you have the funds and the means to be able to support financially, please reach out to us. We need the help in order to do this particular documentary. So because we want to touch the hearts. And the only way we're going to touch the hearts is if we take you there. We show you what's going on. And so by making this documentary, this film, we'll be able to show the people what's really going on. What is the detail? And it's just me. It's just a person. You know, we're going out there. We are putting on our sneakers, going out into the road, going out into the hills, going around the town and making sure that we listen to the people. We experience firsthand what they are experiencing, and then showing it, making sure that a nation sees what we've been able to experience.
Okay, so how do people get a hold of you again? Do you have a website that people should tune into?
We do not have a website currently. That is something that we are working on. But you can reach me again to yperezr31@gmail.com.
Okay, so that's how people can get a hold of you to support this move for the legislation that needs to happen. Okay, there's been a controversy in Puerto Rico about how many people were actually killed or have died in the wake of Maria. And the numbers have raised, I don't know what that idiot Trump said, a very small number. And we're now looking at numbers around 4,000 of people have died. Have you followed this controversy?
I have. And I have experienced firsthand the reality of the deaths. We did see an impact of death to the island above 4,000 people after the wake of Hurricane Maria. I experienced firsthand the death of friends and family members that, because they were not able to get the right medical treatment, either suffered a heart attack, died from cancer because they were not able to go get their treatment, had suffered through dialysis because, or have had...
Using dialysis.
They
weren't able to get dialysis.
No, they were not able to get dialysis. I can tell you that, I have a very close experience where a family member that suffers from heart failure got very ill, because she was living in a shelter for a period of time, eating food that is very high in sodium, canned food, processed food that is not good for you, especially if you have diabetes or high blood pressure. And this person, unfortunately, is now on dialysis because her body gave up. These are firsthand experiences. I have a friend that unfortunately passed away right after Maria because she was a cancer patient and could not get the proper medical help, and also was not able to feed herself properly because the amount of food coming into the island was mostly canned food. And she passed away. And those numbers were not added to that wonderful number that our current president put out there. That's not the reality. That is not. And I'm sorry, but it aggravates me to the fact that they like to mask the reality of what happened. This was a natural disaster, and it was an incredible impact to our community that is still going on. I participated in about 5 flights coming from Miami and Fort Lauderdale to Puerto Rico and back from Puerto Rico to the Fort Lauderdale area, where we were filling up airplanes, bringing it down to Puerto Rico with either medical supplies or power plants or other toiletry items, making sure that it reached certain doctors or certain areas that needed to get these items. And then we filled these planes with patients. They were cancer patients, dialysis patients, kids that were in certain hospitals that had lack of energy, and they needed to get them out immediately. And we were able to transport these people to the mainland. And I can tell you an experience that broke my heart into pieces, where we fought to get this child out of Puerto Rico. He was very, very sick, and we got him off of Puerto Rico on a Saturday. We were able to confirm a flight for him. We got him to West Palm Beach on Sunday, and he passed away on Wednesday that week. That's not counted into the numbers, but that was the reality. That's the reality that we experienced firsthand as first responders to the situation.
God, that's awful. Now, are people still lacking in water and in food in Puerto Rico? I mean, has at least that much been taken care of?
I believe the food factor has been taken care of. I also believe agriculture has picked up again, from what I've been exposed to on information. I do say that the water is not as good as it should be. Again, these water plants are run with energy, and if you don't have an electrical grid running properly, obviously your water system is going to suffer the consequences. So the pressure of the water and the quality of the water is not at its optimum level. And what I do say is that we do have a very limited amount of reconstruction supplies compared to the amount of houses that still need to be rebuilt.
Wow. We're talking to Yesenia. Yesenia, what's your last name?
My name is Yesenia Perez.
Perez, and you are right now talking to us from North Carolina?
I am located in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And what is your day job? What are you normally doing here when you're not working on Puerto Rico?
When I'm not defending my island, I actually work as a financial officer for a marketing and branding company.
Okay, good. All right, great. So you're working with Joel Siegel on the necessary legislation that will help us save the island. I know that there is a major legislation coming forward to deal with the horrible problems that remain unsolved in Puerto Rico. Do you think that people are still dying as a result of the lack of government response?
I do not think that it is as drastic as dying, but I do think that they are still suffering the consequences of not having the proper basic needs met.
Yeah, and this is so. What's going to solve this now? You say you've been on conference calls about this. Are there organizations, or is there an umbrella organization that's working now to save the remains of Puerto Rico?
There are. There on this group that I am working with, there are about 25 representations of different organizations across the United States that we've all pulled together to bring to the table a brainstorming session where we can all bring our thoughts to how we think we can impact the island. We have Corazón Latino and the project Do Not Forget Puerto Rico is kind of the head of these of all of these people. These are organizations and nonprofit or political across the United States. It's just passionate people that are either Puerto Rican or of another nationality that are willing to fight just for human rights, just basic human rights.
Fantastic. And does this organization have a name?
We do not. We are, we consider ourselves a sustainable and clean energy focus group. We are a work group that just really gets together and makes sure that we address all the areas that are needed to be addressed once putting all the pieces together for this bill and everything else that we're working on.
All right, very good. So is there anything else you want to say about what's happening with Puerto Rico and where we can go next?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Harvey, for having me and letting me speak for my beautiful island. I want to reiterate the fact that we want to touch the hearts of people and let them know what's really happening in our island. So your support, being able to write these petitions to your local politicians so they pay attention to this bill that's about to pass is very important. Is make sure that you become a voice for the Puerto Rican island. It doesn't matter where you come from. We just need your support financially and with just, an email or a phone call. Or Twitter. Twitter works immensely. We know how that's affected our current political atmosphere. So, you know, make sure that you go out to social media and send out notes on how important it is to take care of our fellow Americans.
Very good. Yesenia, you've been a great guest. I really appreciate your coming on and your continued activism. With these tweets and these emails and the other kind of support, who should it be directed to? Should it be directed at Congress, individual members of Congress? Are you in North Carolina contacting your senators and congresspeople to get this done?
Well, I should say when you send out a tweet, when you are in Facebook, make sure that you tag me. My name is Yesenia. That's Y-E-S-S-E-N-I-A. Last name is Perez. You can find me that way either on Twitter or on Facebook. And make sure that you tag the Congress people, that you tag our current political politicians, and that you voice out that you want to defend and make sure that the people in Puerto Rico receive what they're owed. They are owed basic electrical energy facilities, and we need to get that for them.
And they also need obviously food and rebuilding other the structures. I mean, my understanding is a lot of the structures that were destroyed and their roofs lifted off by Maria have not yet been fixed. Is that right?
Yep. It is still in progress. It is still in progress. I have a very good friend that I considered a brother from another mother.
We know about that.
I know, right? And he owns a construction company, and we talk very regularly, and he tells me all of his experiences, and he wishes he can do more, but it's the lack of material is there. You know, we still have a lot of material that needs to come into the island in order for these rebuilds to happen. We still need the hands behind the construction also. And again, I know for a fact there are nonprofit organizations that are still traveling to the island to make sure that they for free bring these people to rebuild and construct these homes. But again, they need support, they need manpower, they need material.
Yes, indeed. This is one other thing I wonder if you can speak to, which is the Jones Act. Are you familiar with the Jones Act, and can you speak to the need to get rid of that?
Yes. So I've experienced firsthand the Jones Act, where I can pay for an item for just a regular toiletry item, maybe a dollar here in the States. But if you go down to Puerto Rico, you'll be paying $1.50 for the same item. Because everything that comes into the island must first come to the mainland and then be transported from the mainland back to the island. So we're paying the taxes when it gets here, and then we're paying taxes when it gets to Puerto Rico, and then we're still paying charging taxes when the actual consumer buys the item. So it is a good way to steal the money from our people. It's a very tactical way of doing it. I can say that the island does not need that. Maybe when it was first created, it was something that I was looked at, and it was, you know, profitable for the people that chose it, but it's not working out. Because of all these restrictions, then we have higher cost of living in Puerto Rico because of these restrictions and taxes charged. We then are exposed to having limited resources.
Yeah, and then when Trump talks about the island being bankrupt and having all these debts to pay, it's basically because of the Jones Act, because you got ripped off. I mean, this was dates back, I believe, to World War One, where there was a whole scam going on to force the people of Puerto Rico to pay double shipping, essentially. Shipping companies have made out like bandits, and it's outrageous. Yesenia, you've been a terrific guest. Is there anything else you want to speak to before we jump off here?
Nope. Again, I just want to thank you, Harvey. Thank you for having me. And I think this is an amazing opportunity. You reach the right people, and we just hope that everybody comes on board and supports this and make sure that it goes through Congress. So I appreciate help and your support.
So, listeners, we will have other shows here. There is legislation being pushed to do at least a couple of things. First, to get rid of this Jones Act, which is utterly ridiculous and a complete ripoff and a major source of the economic problems that have plagued Puerto Rico for so long. And it's one of the major reasons that there is a large debt attached to Puerto Rico, which is really a shame and has nothing to do with the people of Puerto Rico. It actually has to do with the greed and dishonesty of the American government in terms of double taxing the shipments that go into Puerto Rico. It's ridiculous. There's also legislation moving ahead to solarize Puerto Rico. You know, before Maria, the power, there were a couple of small solar units, including one at a greenhouse in Puerto Rico. But nearly all of the power that was being generated in Puerto Rico was being done with fossil fuels, which is utterly ridiculous. And and so now there is a substantial movement to solarize Puerto Rico, which would be a fantastic thing and very easily done in relative terms, because your fossil fuel network has been wiped out. There's no real grid to worry about. And in fact, at one point, when the utility company was bringing back power to Puerto Rico, and they put out a press release saying that the grid was just about to be 100% restored. And then within a few hours of them putting out that that release, the grid went down. And the only things that were generating usable power on the island were the solar panels. I mean, actually, Puerto Rico became a solartopia, because you had the solar array at the Children's Hospital in San Juan. You had this one greenhouse that was getting solar power, and you had a few other solar panels around, but all of the fossil fuel generators were basically useless because there was no grid.
Yes.
So, this is a great moment in world history where you had the entire island of Puerto Rico and the only power that was being generated was solar and some wind. But the wind is also grid-related, so it was the solar that really made the difference. And, there was a major step forward, no thanks to PURPA, but that's how it happened. So now we have legislation now being pushed by Joel Siegel and others that will fund the entire solarization of Puerto Rico. And this really has to happen. So we know this legislation is moving forward, and we look forward to the progress of it. And Yesenia, I'm glad that you're able to keep on the case here, and we'll have you back to talk further about the progress of this. Okay? So I'm going to talk now a little bit. You're welcome to stay on, by the way, but I'm going to go off now and talk about the basic developments in the United States. First of all, we have an election that just happened where I have lived for most of my life in Central Ohio. And there was a close congressional race between an upcoming Democrat, the young guy, who's only 31, or is only 31, and an old jerk of a Republican. And Trump came in and spoke in Central Ohio to support this guy. His name was Balderson or something like that. We call him Balderdash. And this district is a gerrymandered district. It was gerrymandered to be very, very strongly Republican. And in the last election, I think Trump carried this district by more than almost 40%, I think. And now it was very, very close. The results came in Tuesday night, and they're within 1,800 votes of each other in a pretty big district.
And it's pretty clear to those of us who follow these things that there are some, shall we say, irregularities involved with this election. And they're now going to be allegedly counting provisional ballots. And, you know, traditionally provisional ballots come from people of color who turn up to vote and they say, no, you're not on the rolls. And then they make them vote provisional. And then they have to track them down. Now, there's more than enough provisional ballots in this district in central Ohio to put the election to the Democrat. And we think that's probably in a fair vote count what would happen, because there are a very, very substantial number of provisional ballots. And we are assuming that the vast majority of the provisional ballot people given provisional ballots are people of color and suspected Democrats. This just happened to me in Los Angeles, actually. I went to vote. They said my name wasn't on the rolls, and they gave me a provisional ballot, which I assumed would be thrown in the trash. Now, what's going to happen now in central Ohio is, because so much energy and effort and attention has been put in to preserving our elections, we think that there's going to be, well, we know, I mean, we're going to make happen a really, really important and focused attempt to get a fair vote count on these provisional ballots. And if that happens, it's quite possible the Democrat can win. Now, the Democrat, if whoever wins this House seat in this election, it's a special election, is going to only be there until November, and then there has to be another election. So the same two guys are going to run at each other again, and we'll probably have the same kind of fraud and theft that we've seen so many times in Ohio elections. Now, my co-author on six or seven, we've lost track, books on election theft is Bob Fitrakis. He's an attorney there, and he will be joining the great investigator, Greg Powers, in fighting a filing a federal lawsuit to make sure that these ballots are properly counted, to look into the electronic voting machines, to look into the stripping of the voter rolls that goes on in all these elections to allow the right-wingers to win. And this is going to be a very interesting chain of events, because this election is going to run again in November, same two candidates, and we're going to see what happens here. But this will be a case for thorough investigation. Yesenia, are you still on with me? Okay,
I am, Harvey. I'm here.
Oh, you are? Okay, so you're in North Carolina. And
I am.
You know, of course, that the Republican legislature, which is totally gerrymandered, I mean, the majority of people in North Carolina, or close to the majority, vote Democratic. And yet the gerrymandering in the state has allowed the Republicans to take a supermajority in the legislature. Have you been following this?
I have not been following it closely, but I know exactly what you're talking about. And this is where the state itself is being affected because of the decisions and what we are approving with legislation.
Well, it's a nightmare because
it's
gerrymandered, unfair, completely theft-oriented Republican legislature in North Carolina, which has no business being a Republican legislature, has completely rigged the system. There has been, for example, an attempt or a number of attempts to get rid of the gerrymandering in North Carolina and return control of the government to the actual people. And, of course, the Republicans have been fighting this tooth and nail. You also managed to elect a Democratic governor in North Carolina, and they're trying to base in a Democratic Supreme Court, and they're trying to get rid of it. I mean, you're really in the middle. You're dealing with two serious fascist takeovers here, Puerto Rico and North Carolina.
We are. We're in the middle of this fight and making sure that, you know, the power goes back to the people, and everything that we do and we decide to do for our community benefits the people in the community and doesn't benefit directly the pockets of some certain politicians or certain company owners.
Yes. Now, in Ohio and in Michigan, we do have referenda on the ballot to change the way districts are drawn and to get rid of some of the gerrymandering. which really needs to happen as soon as possible. They have the Republicans in North Carolina have fought this tooth and nail, and I think they've pretty much kept it off the ballot. So you're in a position in North Carolina where you still got these fascist clowns running the government and aren't being accountable. So you've got a double whammy to take care of here. We hope that the legislation that you're involved with in Puerto Rico at least will help there. And it looks like a lot of us from afar that in part a battle between the mayor of San Juan, this fabulous woman, and this a jerk of a governor, Rosario, who's, you know, totally sold everything to the corporations. And let's talk about that in the broader sense now. We're seeing the Trump junta. I think that really the only way you can describe the Trump government is a junta. And his associates are now really falling upon each other's throats. It's quite amusing to watch. This guy, Michael Cohen, God, I mean, what a piece of work. And he was Trump's personal lawyer, and he taped their conversations. I think that's fantastic. Of course, if I had a client like Donald Trump, I think I would tape the conversations too. I mean, you got to protect yourself, right? And I'm sure that Michael Cohen broke the law many times for Donald Trump on his behalf, and felt the need to protect himself. So we're going to see what happens there. And I'm going to predict something, and this is the key right now. The most important thing that's happened with Trump and this Trump junta is that it's very, very clear that his son lied to Congress. And that is a really serious offense. That's a major felony. And I don't think anybody who follows this can now doubt that I don't remember which one it is, Donald Trump Jr., Eric, told under oath a congressional hearing that his father was not told about this meeting in wherever Trump Tower where they went to get dirt on Hillary, which he has now admitted that he knew about. But his son said he didn't know under oath. That makes him pretty seriously liable. It's a pretty cut and dry case. And,
it is.
You know, when you have a mafia clan running the government, and, you know, one of the consiglieres or the son of the Don, the son of the head cheese, is caught in some serious illegality, that's a major deal. And Trump is now looking at the possibility of trying to figure out what to do about his crazy, ignorant son being in line of major felony charges. That's going to be an interesting dynamic. He's going to have to pardon this kid. And that's not going to go over big.
No, it's not. I don't think the people will forgive that.
No, but then the question becomes, what can we do? Right? I mean, okay, we know what's going on in Puerto Rico is a nightmare. It's horrible. We knew what went on in Katrina was horrible. And, you know, one of the ways we dealt with Katrina was to get George W. Bush out of the White House. How do we now get Donald Trump out of the White House? And what do we do when Mike Pence follows him? That's not a pretty picture either.
Well, I think, again, we got to get the right people in the right seats. We cannot continue to let our public servants be chosen by certain people. We need to make sure that we voice, that we go out, that we vote for those people that are going to make a change, that are willing to stand up to whoever it is that is up there. And they're going to stand up, stand their ground, and say, no, we're not accepting this anymore. You either work our way or move away.
Yes. Well, that's hard now because the system is rigged. So we really have to look at the lawsuits that are going to be filed in this special election in Columbus, Ohio. We're going to have to look at North Carolina, your home state, Yesenia, and deal with a completely corrupt, entrenched legislature that doesn't belong to be in power, and that we're going to have to find ways within a nonviolent framework to change all this. So let's keep at it. We are going to do it in North Carolina. We'll do it in Puerto Rico. We'll do it in Ohio.
in Michigan, wherever it needs to happen. And God help us, don't let Hillary Clinton run for president again. It's insane. We are starting to see young people come forward. This wonderful woman who won in New York State.
Alexandria Ocasio.
Yeah, maybe, Yesenia, it's time for you to run for Congress. What do you think?
I think this is the right time to do it. I think we as a country need young people that have any experience with the community to come forth and defend it. And you also need diversity, a real diversity.
Well, great. And so you have my, I'm going to be the first to endorse you for Congress in your next run. And we look forward to having you in there. You can support all this great legislation for Puerto Rico. You can get rid of the gerrymandering in North Carolina, and you can kick out the moron fascist mafia thug that's in the White House, okay?
And that's
him
what we need
president.
To do.
He's not our... And we thank you, crew in New York. Thank you, Yesenia. You're wonderful. We will be in touch.
Thank
you. See you next week.
Thank you for having me.
Either way, oh, you're fantastic. Take care.
We needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over town.
Why would anyone ride on top of an elevator?